Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
Welcome to Good Morning Football, presented by Old Trapper Beef Jerky. We are not in Kansas anymore, guys. No, we are in New York City, October 28th. My name is Tad Lasso. Hey, how you doing? I'm your new coach. Peter Schrager is playing the role of Bum Phillips. How do you do? Let's introduce my other coach, who I've looked up to so many years. How'd you put your outfit together?
Ma'am, I am so honored to be across another coaching legend. I am Bum Phillips. Love your Blue Oilers, 1975 to 1980. I appreciate the opportunity to be on this Good Morning Football. And to you, Coach Lasso, it is a great respect. And to you, Mr. Moxon, I like what you got going on. We could have used you against them Steelers, I'll tell you that.
Well, listen, I'm all about the team. I give all credit to Billy Bob and especially Tweeter. That's my number one wide receiver. That's my Davante Adams. And who's across the table from me, Coach Lasso? Good Lord.
It is Josh Cribbs. You are a friend, a best friend of the show, an all-pro in the house. He shares the record for most kickoff return touchdowns in NFL history. Jon Snow, a.k.a. Josh Cribbs.
I am not the bastard they thought I was. You have to correct that. I know my name. I am King. And at heart, I'm a stock of Winterfeld. But I could have used you, Moxon, in the battle with the Night King. I could have used you.
We're wishing you guys a happy Halloween. Lots of fun on the show. Lots to get to. If you have costumes, we want to see them. Tweet us at GMFB. This is one of our favorite shows. It's an honor to be doing this for a fifth year with these two, and an honor to have a best friend of the show pulling it together with Jon Snow, which he introduced to us as a character that you put on a couple of years ago on our program. So we love having you. And what a game last night, guys. And yeah, I agree with you, Moxon. We've got 90 minutes to turn things around right here on the show. Let's do it. Packers-Cardinals highlights.
Let's do it. See if the Packers and Cards can play like gods. Here we go. Lead block. So we know what the deal is. Packers need a lot of help because they're down a lot of guys. No Lazard, no Adams, no Marquez Valdez-Scantling. 24-21. Packers, huge win, down and out. And afterwards, Aaron Andrews runs down Aaron Rodgers, and man, Rodgers was feeling it.
This is a scrappy team. This is a tough, physical, gritty team. I'm so proud of our guys. Without our defensive coordinator, without MVS, the best receiver in the league, Davante Adams, Alan Lazard, our do-it-all guy, to have these guys come out and play the way they did, I'm so proud of them, so proud of the line, and to watch our defense finish out of the game like that on the road against a great football team, that's what it's all about. It's going to be a great freaking ride back to Green Bay. We're going to celebrate this, have a great weekend, and get back after it next week.
And they should have happy Aaron Rodgers there winning seven straight. Like they say, taking on a challenge is a lot like riding a horse. If you're comfortable while doing it, you're probably doing it wrong. Mm. I'm comfortable without Davante Adams, without Alan Lazard there. MVS not activated for this one as we bring in Ian Rappaport this Halloween morning. In all seriousness, Ian, tough loss for the Cardinals at home. We got to get to the Kyler Murray part of this. He was limping in the final moments. What is the latest there? Robert Tonyan also left the field in the third quarter. What do we know about that injury?
We'll start with Kyler Murray, and of course, we saw him make the ill-fated last throw. Didn't really step into that throw at the end, though, and for a good reason. Sounds like he got rolled up on his ankle, was shown limping, and really took a long time to get up off the field. After the final pass, though, it's tough to know whether that was emotions or injury. After the game, Kyler Murray addressed that and said he believed he would be fine, and of course, he now has 10 days to recover, so we will take Kyler Murray's word for it, although I would assume he is going to have some tests today. Very different situation for Robert Tonyan, one of the feel-good stories for the Green Bay Packers. And as head coach Matt LaFleur said, one of the guys you really feel good about because of how much progress he has made and watching him reach his potential. It appears, based on the look of the injury, based on the words of Matt LaFleur and the reaction afterward, that Robert Tonyan has suffered a major injury. He's going to have tests today, an MRI on that knee. But this one certainly does not look good. And that's why when LaFleur takes to the podium and said he is, quote, sick for Bobby, and that he means so much to this team, you know he feels that, and certainly that appears to be something significant for the Packers tight end.
We'll have more updates, of course, throughout the day, throughout the morning, right here on GMFB. That's seven straight wins for the Packers. Ian, we'll talk to you in a bit. Aaron Rodgers was counting them down to the fans left in the stadium after the win. Yes, the NFC runs through him at Lambeau. Let's take a look at the playoff picture in the NFC after last night. They sit in the one seed. The Cardinals slide down to number two. What'd you make of that wild finish, guys? Packers and Cardinals. And the Cardinals getting their first loss of the season, Triggs.
Yeah, I'm wearing the outfit right now, and it's Bum Phillips, mm-hmm. who was a fine NFL career. And yet, I look at what Matt LaFleur did last night, and I think that's a masterpiece from a coach that a lot of people have dismissed and disregarded. There was just something over
that was a
shoulder.
Witch flying by you.
Wow.
And it cackled.
And Halloween's not 72 hours away. She's getting heads up. The list of all pros and key players that were missing yesterday, it's not just Lazard and Adams and, of course, Bakhtiari, but on defense, too. Jair Alexander out with the shoulders. Adarius Smith was out with the back. Josh Myers out with the knee, of course. And then you go on. And then Tonyan leaves in the middle of the game. And all that happens is LaFleur says, all right, we're going to go in on 3 days rest and go beat the best team in football. Here are the best head coaching records through the first 40 games since the start of the Super Bowl era. Uh-huh. Guess who's number one? Number one is Matt LaFleur. He's the greatest coach ever in the history of the Super Bowl era. That is 56 years. Mm-hmm. And he has done it, and you know what? He's the best ever. And you want to say he's got Rodgers? He had Rodgers. He didn't have anything else last night. Mm-hmm. I want to put my Bum Phillips hat on, and I want to take my Bum Phillips hat off to just tip the cap to this guy, because to have that team ready to go without their defensive coordinator, about every other famous player outside of Aaron Rodgers, and to win that game, that's a game plan. That is a calmness, and that is a steady hand that needs to be respected. He's not the loudest guy in the room. Mm-hmm. Matt LaFleur might be the best coach in the room. I love it. Through 40 games, the greatest this league has
Can't
ever
take that
seen
away from
since we had
the
Super Bowl.
Coach of the year front runner now?
It could very well be the coach of the year front runner. Last night was a statement, not only for the Packers, but for Matt LaFleur as well.
Well, you're tested when you don't have all your guys through injury. And you can tell when throughout the entire league, you can look at the Browns when they were injured, but yet they battled back. They found guys to put in there. And it was coaching, because you got to scramble up all your guys, your no-name guys. So coaching was big on that. But then I look at the Cardinals and I say, okay, if you want to say you're the best,
yeah.
And everybody says, are they truly the best or was it just their schedule? Well, you got to play against the best. Mm-hmm. You had an opportunity at home to go in out there and perform against a beat up, injured team that limped to the stadium. And they were exposed, I think, in the run game. Dylan, I mean, he showed up, the two-headed monster they're trying to create with the Packers. But you saw how it was coaching. Like you said, I agree 100%. But then I wanted to see the Cardinals overcome that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see the Cardinals see if they can overcome and say, okay, we are the best. I don't care if you're beat up and battered and injured. You don't have Devontae. You still should be able to win against us away with nobody. But they weren't. Mm-hmm. And that was huge for me to see. And it's interesting to see what the power rankings would be.
Talk about it.
It would drop down significantly because they were already questioned. They were in question.
Mm-hmm. But why were there questions? They beat the Rams. They beat the Titans. They beat the Browns. Those are three.
Early.
They didn't beat them. They crushed them.
And it's still early. So questions arise because it is early. They say you want to play all the best teams early before they can figure it out.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's why there's hope for another team.
Mm.
Because it's still early enough for another team shall not be. You know what?
Let's Dave Ornchalmers?
Kansas City.
Ah.
What? It's still.
Josh.
It's not. I didn't want to say it because I feel like it's too early. But
the first segment of the show, Kansas City.
I'm talking about it because when we put them in a category, the Arizona category, a team that hasn't lost. I think they should have went out there and shocked everyone. And it wouldn't have been too much of a shock because they were beat up. They had reason to lose. They had a good reason not to go out there and win the game. And those are the games that if Arizona want to show the country like why they're undefeated, they had to come out victorious.
It's a tough loss. It's a tough loss.
It is.
It really was.
At home.
I'm going to make it about the Packers, though. I look at the 1999 West Cannon Coyotes. You lose Trey Lance. It's a devastating injury.
Of course.
And you got Moxon coming in. That's
for sure.
Very similar to what we saw from the Packers last night. But I think that the Johnny Moxon in this case was not the quarterback. I think it was Randall Cobb. Aaron Rodgers played over 200 games in the league. I'd be willing to bet when he hangs it up, this will be one of his very favorite games he's ever played. Not only because he won and everyone was against him and it was a national TV and he gets to 7-1. Aaron Rodgers vouched for Cobb to come to the team. I openly think that the Packers were not interested in any way in having Randall Cobb. In fact, after they signed him, they all but admitted we brought him in because Rodgers told us to, which is not exactly a warm welcome for one of the greatest Packer receivers of all time. This was validation. They don't win this game if Rodgers doesn't say, bring Cobb in or I'm not coming. They lose. They lose easily. I think it's unbelievably poetic. He was right. He was better. Tough loss by the Cardinals, but an unbelievable gritty win by the Packers. I think that's the story.
Does that matter? Are they going to take that and ride it the rest of the season, Triggs?
I think so.
It was a moment for Green Bay. You had Aaron Rodgers. He threw for 184 yards and completed less than 60% of his passes. I think it must mean something seeing Rodgers talking to Aaron Andrews that he can trust that these other guys are going to step up, that they can lean on that run game and Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon and that defense that came to make plays. It was a really important moment for the Green Bay side.
You guys are making it really about the Packers, but had Kyler Murray connected with A.J. Green at
different
the
story.
End? Different story.
Josh, what the hell happened on that play?
Man, and it's as if he didn't think he was going to get the football.
Uh-huh.
You got to understand, all the action was to the other side of the field.
Uh-huh.
But Kyler saw something that nobody else saw. And maybe AJ one-on-one, maybe he lost faith in himself not to become a target.
Mm-hmm.
But this would have been a different story had it been a back shoulder throw. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be talking about Rodgers.
He would have caught it.
We've been talking about how Kyler Murray took his team over 90 yards down the field.
Mm-hmm.
And AJ
99
Green.
99 yards. And
won the game.
It's amazing. You're right.
So it's hard to say, you know, Rodgers had a great game, but it's hard to overlook that. What if we wouldn't be mentioning Rodgers next year?
Let's break down some of the best matchup with a round of Mad Minute.
Right.
I believe that you guys can do this in 60 seconds,
mm-hmm.
and that's what it'll take. Starting off with an AFC South battle featuring the Titans heading to Indy to take on the Colts. What has you excited, Bum, about this one?
I think Derrick Henry is off to one of the greatest starts we've ever seen from a running back.
You're kind of player,
season.
Coach.
And he is my guy, Earl Campbell.
That's right.
So I respect the heck out of what Derrick Henry is, especially for that franchise. In all seriousness, though, the number two rusher is Jonathan Taylor, and he's had two huge games in a row. This is the number one and number two rushing running backs in the league, the two teams who are going to contend for this division title. This game is so important. I think it's going to be controlled in the trenches. Don't be shocked if Jonathan Taylor has the better outing than Derrick Henry.
You got takes there, Coach. Don't be shocked if Carson Wentz is the best player in this game.
Ooh.
He's playing really well right now. He's had two very good games in a row. I always say he's one of the presidents of the Easy Target Club with Kirk Cousins. When he's playing well, you better credit him because he is. I don't care what you think of him or him or his lifestyle. He's playing well. Watch out for him.
Jonathan Taylor has to have a great game in order to stifle. He has to be better than Henry in order for them to have a chance. Now, Tennessee Titans need to bottle up Pittman. If it was NBA Jam, they would be saying, he's on fire.
Yeah.
He's lighting up. So they got to stifle him.
Boom. Shakalaka. Great stuff there. The Titans win. It gives them the inside track in the AFC South. Guys, they haven't won back-to-back division titles since guess when? 1969. That's pre-Bum Phillips.
Oh, yeah.
That's unbelievable. Hmm. They were the Houston Oilers. Mm-hmm. Oilers playing in the AFL East division. Battles continue with the Steelers facing off against the Browns in Cleveland. What are you watching for here? Eeny, meeny, miny, Moxon.
Moxon, yeah. I'm going to Baker. Is he playing? He says there's an absolute chance that he might. They haven't declared it yet. I remember Peter last week was saying, maybe you better just sit him out and just rest him. They did. He's had the week off, and now he gets the Steelers. Guess who's next week? It's the Bengals. This is a very perilous decision for Cleveland. It might determine the rest of their season who goes to quarterback.
It will. I think Baker plays.
You do?
I think he comes through. And look, this is the moment that he's been waiting for. He's in a contract year. We cannot forget that. So all the talk around Keenum, all the talk around his backup playing and being just as good as him, I don't know if Baker likes that. He'll be calm under pressure. But look for him to light up the scores. I didn't want to be biased, Kay, but he almost was my guy to light up the scoreboard.
Okay, but should it be Baker's call? That's my question. Like,
save him from himself?
Save him from himself. I know he's got a contract extension, and not selfishly, but for him, of course he wants to put the best stuff on film, and he wants to play. He's a gamer. They won with Keenum. Keenum's not going to lose you many games. This is going to be a low-scoring game. Keenum's not going to hurt you. I almost would rather see Keenum under center just for one more week.
Again, you're saying this. Interesting. Get him healthy. Get him healthy.
Let it ride.
Yeah. The Browns are looking to win three straight over the Steelers for the first time, guys, since 1988 to 1989. The 49ers travel to Soldier Field to take on the Bears. I think it's the last time I wore a mustache. was when I dressed as one of the Bears guys at the 2019 Packers-Bears season opener in Chicago. It just took me right back there. What are we looking for, Shrakes, in this one?
Yes, I believe you were going as George Wendt that day.
Yes,
what are they called? The super fans?
Bob Swirsky.
Sausage.
How many sausage balls were flying from Blake Shelton yesterday during that game? Woo!
Yes, Blake could not have been happy. I would just say, in short, San Francisco, the fans are like, what the heck is going on right now? Because this was supposed to be a Super Bowl team. They've lost four straight games. They drafted a quarterback. They kept the other quarterback. Neither one of them seems to be able to do it when it matters. San Francisco must win this early in the season. If you're watching the NFC, it is pulling away.
I bet Blake Shelton's head is over the toilet right now.
He's not watching.
That's tough.
Blake's not watching.
That ending of that game, Blake.
He likes throwing that food.
I know. Justin Fields, the image that we have of him. We need a happy Justin Fields. We need something, please. This is a home game for Chicago. I think the crowd is going to be absolutely mutinous. Let's get this guy going. We need a new highlight, new optic, and we need a win.
They need to ramp up their offense. If you saw when they played the Browns, it was as if he had just he would just enter the game after an injury right away. Their offense need a spark. They need to do something with him. Get him moving around. He's not a true pocket passer. Mm-hmm. I just want to see something different with their offense.
Lions have won three straight over the Eagles. Eagles' last win over Detroit came in the infamous 2013 snow game.
Oh, wow.
Finally, the Patriots head out to the West Coast. They face off against the Chargers in LA at the Loud SoFi. What's got you excited about this one, KB?
One of these teams potentially rising up. Like, I don't really buy into either of these teams, the AFC now, Patriots, for obvious reasons. Chargers, because they got destroyed, absolutely hammered by Baltimore. What is the character of Staley? What is the character of Herbert to come back against a rookie quarterback and see what happens this week? I want to see what the Chargers are made of.
I think that was an anomaly, what happened when they went to Baltimore.
Maybe so.
I think they're still a great team, especially how they played, went toe-to-toe with Cleveland, with the Browns. That was impressive. And then it was like a big letdown, but I think that was an anomaly. And I don't think the Patriots have what it takes to battle a Chargers team right now.
They won 45-0 in that building last year, the Patriots did. I think that taste is in a lot of people's mouths on both sides of the ball. But I also think the Patriots did something last week where they kind of let Mac Jones cook a little bit. Hey, go throw the ball. Do that. They threw a trick play out there in the first play where Kendrick Bourne. Yeah. It looked like a different offense. It might have taken this long.
Get loose.
It feels like the Patriots might be hitting their stride, but they have to win this one to take them seriously.
Patriots have won six straight games over the Chargers. Morgan Morning Football on the way. Dak was seen in a boot after the Cowboys' Week 6 win over the Patriots. How is he feeling heading into his Sunday night game in Minnesota? We'll hear from him next.
Halloween edition of Good Morning Football, my favorite show of the year. Glad you're with us. I'm Will Salva. Happy Friday. And in case you haven't heard, there is a big AFC South showdown this weekend that could have major playoff implications for the Colts, who currently sit at 3-4, taking on the 5-2 Titans. Now, the last time these two teams met was back in Week 3, and Colts linebacker Darius Leonard was on the receiving end of a Derrick Henry angry run. Sorry, Darius. Leonard definitely doesn't want that to happen again. In fact, he knows the importance of this game, going as far as saying the Colts can't afford to lose this one.
I normally don't ever say that this is a must-win game, but this is a must-win game. Coach talk about, you know, the difference between ordinary and extraordinary, you know, that little bit of extra, and we got to find a way to figure that out, you know, figure out what we got to do to come out this game with a victory.
In Dallas, Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott was limited in practice again on Thursday as he continues to heal from a calf injury suffered in Week 6. Head coach Mike McCarthy has said they don't want this to be a lingering issue, so they're taking a cautious approach. Here's Dak Prescott on his chances of playing against the Vikings.
Obviously, just got to keep progressing. This is, I don't want to say something like my shoulder, but this is, in a sense, I don't know if it's just my decision. Obviously, you guys know me, been around and watch me go. I tell you right now, I'd go play today if I could. So knowing that this is a long journey and a long season, I don't necessarily know if this is fully my decision, but I'm going to just keep controlling the things I can, get better. I've gotten better each and every day, and that's what's most important. So I'm just focused on doing that again tomorrow.
If Dak Prescott cannot go on Sunday night, Cooper Rush will be the one under center against the Vikes.
Time now for my top five frighteners. We've been crushing this. Slow start to the season, but it was a weird start. What do they say? September's a liar. Who said that, Kyle?
Me.
No, you said week one's a liar. Somebody said
that. Oh, Sean O'Hara said the whole month.
The whole month, take it off. Right, well, we're back and we're in it. We want to get you into your playoffs. Without further ado, here are the five best fantasy frighteners for week eight. Let's start with the quarterback, Kirk Cousins. He's been quietly having an awesome year, solidly a QB1, putting up 25 or more points in three games already. I like him a lot this week against a Cowboys defense that's allowed the third most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks this season. At running back, Kenneth Gainwell. Miles Sanders most likely out this week with an ankle injury, which means Gainwell should get the bulk of the work. He had 71 total yards and a touchdown when Sanders left the game last week. Talented receiver out the backfield as well. He could thrive. If, you know, Sirianni, I wear a visor, I'm Ted Lasso, you wear a visor, give the kid the ball. Get in a rhythm, run the ball. Lions defense has allowed 6 touchdown catches to running backs this year. That not only leads the league, but it's double the next closest team. Get yourself a receiving touchdown, kid. Another running back, Elijah Mitchell. Niners running back racked up 107 yards and a touchdown on 18 carries against the tough Colts D last weekend. And the Bears defense is intimidating, but remember, Khalil Mack won't be out there. If you have Mitchell, make sure he's in your lineup this weekend. And next up, Broncos receiver Jerry Jeudy. Shrey, are you excited about this?
I'm excited to see him back, and they desperately need him. This is a guy who had a great week one, got hurt. Pick him up, Kyle.
I put him on IR.
It was an ankle injury. He suffered it back in week one. Do not forget about him just because he hasn't been out there in a while. He's an incredible talent. A breakout star, according to pretty much everyone at this table. He's facing a Washington defense that's allowed more points to receivers than anybody. And finally, at tight end, say it with me, guys, C.J. Uzomah. Yeah, he scored 5 touchdowns over the last 4 games. A legit tight end one this season. I wouldn't expect, it's such a scary little goblin. I wouldn't expect him to slow down in a cushy matchup against the Jets. I believe in hope. I believe in believe, says Ted Lasso. I believe in this list. Kirk Cousins, Kenneth Gainwell, Elijah Mitchell, Jerry Jeudy, and C.J. Uzomah here against the Jets.
Okay, let's cut to the chase. Did you consider doing top 5 most frightening names? Super scary.
Like Frangor.
Jadeveon Clowney.
That's a good one. Are there other ones we're missing? There's more.
I'm sure there are. I don't know. Has that segment ever been done? I don't know.
Our show. We've done it the first 3 years of our program.
I think it's a hallmark of our show.
I will say Josh Cribbs has one of the better NFL names in NFL history.
Josh, were you ever on the show Cribs?
No, I wasn't.
Why?
Exactly.
What?
Everybody else rented a house. Why they couldn't give me a house to rent?
It's Evander Holyfield's house. This is mine. It's beautiful.
Wow, are you a big fantasy football guy? You brought it up a couple times today. You are?
Big fan of what?
Fantasy football guy?
Of course.
Yeah.
I was taking notes as you was talking. Mm-hmm. Jerry Jeudy. I used him as trade bait very early. I tried to keep him as long as possible, but I needed to win right now. So my league is familiar with Jerry Jeudy, so I agree.
You know everything, Jon Snow.
All right, it's the Halloween show on Good Morning Football, tradition unlike any other. I'm Johnny Moxon, we got Ted Lasso, Jon Snow, Bum Phillips, and our next guy, he's been Deion Sanders, Steamin' Willie Beeman. He does it all. He dresses up as everything. And today he's dressed up as a handsome, successful television personality. Nate Burleson, what's up, baby?
You don't know what costume I'm wearing? Let me give you my voice. Hey, I am Bryant Fumble, reporting on the NFL. This is a Bryant Gumbel costume.
Bryant Fumble. All right, Nate, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Nate, I gotta tell you, I miss you today. I miss you a lot today. This is our 5th Halloween show. I've eaten, my body weight candy
Lasso,
here.
Mike
Ted Lasso,
Dicka?
Yeah.
Is this Mike Lasso,
no.
Dicka? What are we doing here?
He can't criticize. What is he
an
doing?
An NFL bigwig said that I was Super Mario. I'm like, what don't y'all understand? Could I not have the
Super
easiest costume
Mario?
In the world?
Super Mario never won.
You and I used to have candy eating contests on this day, and I'm here by myself.
True.
Josh Cribbs won't get in it's with me. I have to tell you something that's kept me up every night this week. It's really a struggle that I've had. We had a disaster.
I know where you're going.
On Angry Runs on Tuesday. Okay, so there was, let me set the stage for you. a broken scepter. I notice sitting in this seat, Kyle's fly is down. I'm trying to message it. I'm like, you know how you can get somebody's attention? I'm like, Peter, look at me. Go do something. No, he doesn't get my attention because Kyle has everybody's attention.
Locked in.
Blake Shelton comes on our show and says his children are weeping. Weeping, watching, and running away. It was an absolute mess. Kyle's a little mad that none of us alerted him or helped him, a la Josh McCown. So I ask you, Nate Burleson, Bryant Fumble, what would you have done if you were on set?
I would have abandoned all TV rules, and I would have Bobby Boucher tackled him and whispered in his ear to zip up his fly, you know, because you can't start a segment like that. I saw that. You know, guys, I keep up with the show. I have to watch because it's the best sports show in the business. And as I'm opening up my phone, I see Kyle doing what he does, getting all excited. Okay, it's that time. And now I'm looking, and then all of a sudden I'm like, no, oh, my eyes. So it's crazy because he baroque his scepter. And then we almost saw his. I'm just like, get it together, Kyle Brandt. Get it together.
Nate, it's a great point. I disagree, though. You would not have tackled me. We know how Nate gets down. Nate's very loving. Nate would have come and raised it myself. I got this for you, Kyle. And he would have pulled up the zipper himself. I'm telling you.
Nate's a better teammate.
With his teeth. Go ahead, Peter. What do you got?
Throw a flag on the play.
That's it. It's something, Josh. Nate, we love you. We miss you. It's almost like I'm like sad to see you dressed in the corporate suit and tie on Halloween. Like, it's just not right. You should be with us right now, dressed something hilariously as you always were. And you should be on Final Whiteboard Wednesday questions as well, because you always had the best answers when it came to that. This week, we're going to give you our Whiteboard Wednesday. So, as we celebrate Halloween, your favorite Halloween memory of all time, Nate Burleson, was? Do us the honors. What was it?
I'm going with Willie Beeman. I feel like we all went big on the costumes. And then me coming out as steaming Willie Beeman. This was like a moment where all of our love for the sports movies that we have watched came together on one show. You know, I met Jamie Foxx on a couple of occasions, so I wanted to pay him homage. But yeah, that was my favorite moment. And you know what, Peter? I do miss it, though. Waking up, getting to the studio early, dressing. And people don't know. They laugh and joke and watch you guys for 3 hours. But we have to prep for this weeks in advance. And then it takes us forever to put on the costumes. And we do it all for the viewer.
We got Josh.
That was absolute. I loved it. I was going to be Willie Beeman.
Okay.
They told you what? Nate's already done it.
And Nate's already done it. And done it well. And I couldn't top that. I'm sitting in your chair, and I wanted to pay all respect to you. So thank you.
Okay, Nate, I appreciate
that. That Willie Beeman.
Of course. Thank you, Josh. That's what's up, man. It's good to see you.
Yes. So, Nate, we know you're a huge movie guy. What is your go-to Halloween movie?
Here we go.
All right, first let me say this. While I have you, Josh, you're incredible. I love you. You do a great job anytime you're doing videos by yourself or you're on TV. But I remember playing against Cleveland. It's back in my Seattle Seahawks days. And I'm going in, feeling myself as a returner. I kept hearing about Josh Cribbs. He can do it all. He can take it to the crib. He can cover punts, cover kicks. Josh. I was like, enough about this, Josh Cribbs. And you know what I did?
Yep.
I took a punt to the house. And you were there, and you remember that, Josh, all right? That's the only time I ever got one up on you. I just had to put that out there. I still love you, though, bro. As far as my movies, though, going Scream, the old school thriller, the original Scream. I know they're coming out with one in January. That is one. Ooh, okay. I like that. I love that movie because it made fun of all the horror movies that we grew up watching. Yeah. I feel like Jamie Kennedy was great in that movie. We didn't know who the killer was to the very end, and that mask is iconic. So Scream is my favorite Halloween movie.
It's a great call. Great call. You like Scream, Josh?
I love it. I love his take on that.
Smoking hot lead, too. I'm talking about Skeet Ulrich. You are the best, Nate. We miss you today. I think Kay said it best. We're all missing you. We all love you. You look amazing. We'll see you soon, my friend.
I appreciate it. Listen, Moxon was overrated in Varsity Blues, but you guys aren't because you're the best in the business.
Wow, such a nice show today.
Moxon came off the bench, Nate.
Not enough.
Yeah, wow.
Cowboys, Vikings.
Gave him too much love.
Whose team runs away with a win on Sunday night? We'll dive into that matchup. And War Mad Minute is up next.
The Halloween vibes continue on this edition of Good Morning Football. I'm Will Salva with the news. And while Jameis Winston did face his former team last season, this season is a little different because he's actually the starter under center. So he'll be seeking a little revenge against the Buccaneers. But he did mention to us that it's all good. There's nothing but love between him and his former team.
Everything happens for a reason, you know, and I'm very grateful for that organization and the Glazer family for giving me the opportunity. I mean, drafted number one overall to that city. That city done a lot for me, and I know I done a lot for that city, so that's why I stay at now. So, you know, I definitely love that city, so now we get to play them. So this week, it's time to play. All the lovey-dovey stuff is behind.
Fun game, though, kickoff week 8. Let's keep it going. Great slate of action coming to us on Sunday. Let's break down some of those with something we call a mad
minute. Right.
I believe you guys can do a bunch of these games right now. Let's start off with an NFC South showdown, guys. Panthers and Falcons, they're in Atlanta. What has us excited? Schrager.
We had some fun with the show earlier this week when Arthur Smith said that Matt Ryan was criminally underrated, and a lot of people scoffed.
Sure.
They win this game, they're 4-3. Matt Ryan's on top of a lot of lists as far as statistics go, and Kyle Pitts means he has started to emerge, and watch out. Here come the Arthur Smith Falcons. We're not even halfway through the season. They've rattled off a few wins. I think they will win this game. Carolina's reeling.
I want the Panthers to stay alive. I thought the Panthers thing to start the season was cool. I like Rule. I like Darnold. I like all that stuff. If they lose this game and if they lose going away, like, I think it's, I don't know if we're seeing Darnold anymore. I don't know if we're, it's nuclear. This is a playoff game. Loser leaves town for the Panthers, feels like, for me.
I agree. Chuba Hubbard, they have to get him involved. Get him a running game. They have to. I have him on fantasy. He has to show up for me this week.
Kyle Pitts, somebody I think is going to have a good week. I picked him as my brightest star. The Falcons have won 6 of their last 7 meetings against Carolina. We have 10 seconds to go.
Say something about this game that we have 15 seconds left. I don't know. Maybe there's not a lot of buzz on this. Maybe
I don't know. How about you and me getting dragged to high heavens for Matt Ryan is good take.
Yeah, Matt Ryan is good. Most people are wrong.
People are so mad at Kyle and I.
People get so angry. People are very anti-Matt Ryan out there. It's like he's not great. Or
there's
the other side.
No.
Or there's the other side that says
defensive.
He's amazing. How dare you dismiss him? It's a very polarizing
quarterback. I'm like, who would you rather have, Tom Brady or Matt Ryan? How dare you say Tom Brady? What?
People love or hate Matt Ryan.
Yeah, thanks for putting us in that position on earlier this week. It's the other NFC South battle in week 8 with the Bucks headed to the Big Easy. Speaking of Tom Brady, I am excited for this one. Eeny, meeny, miny. Peter.
This is, I think, the game of the week. I look at this entire slate, I look at it, and I see Buccaneers and Saints. And the Saints, not pretty on Sunday, but gosh, was that a good win. And their defense looks like they're up to the test. I am fascinated to see what version of this New Orleans offense we get, because Jameis, you're going up against a team that kicked you to the curb, and you're home, and now the playoffs are kind of a real thing. Let's see if they can open up the offense a little bit. You're going to have to score to beat the Bucs.
Amazing. I'm so excited to watch Jameis.
It's a great game,
weekend.
Right?
I've never 100%. Been more excited. You know, he's running into his ex-wife, and she has a new husband, and, like, he's more handsome than you and has more money than you, and, like, everything. And I just, never mind the physical ability, I'm always seduced by the psychological component of Jameis Winston. Josh, this one's going to be great.
It could be an upset, and this is, it's prime for an upset. I don't think it'll happen, but again, I'm back to fantasy. I want Kamara to get the ball. I want him to, but they was trying to bracket him. Mm-hmm. So they need an answer down the field. They got to throw the ball down the field.
Jameis threw 2 passes last year against the Bucs, guys. Completed both for 68 yards and a touchdown.
There was a trick play.
Memorable. He pulled it off in the divisional touchdown round. Pass. So that's sort of interesting. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes with Jameis in New Orleans. Finally, Sunday Night Football brings us a matchup in prime time. It's the Cowboys and Vikings in Minnesota. What has us excited about this one? KP, he was saying some weird stuff about this game.
What you got, Pierre?
Minnesota's home. And they've won a couple games straight, and they're feeling themselves a little bit. I think I like the Vikings in this game.
Okay.
Coming off the bye, I know everyone's all in on Dallas, but Minnesota had some weird losses. They could be undefeated right now, and I think they're putting it together. I'm going to take the Vikings in an upset special on this one, and I might be wrong, but I like the Vikings here.
This is when we start the time of year we start talking about teams that are fake bad, where their record isn't that good because they've had weird, stupid stuff. I'm wondering if the Vikings are fake bad. I think there's only 2 playoff spots in the NFC that are up for grabs, and if the Vikings win this one, they are in the front seat to get one of them. What do you think, Josh?
I don't think they're fake bad. I think they're a team that, as their run game goes, their team goes. So if they bottle up Cook, if they bottle down that run game, Dallas going to roll all over
them.
They will. The hype is real.
Our next guest is one of the very best linebackers in the sport.
All right.
He's an all-pro, and since 2015, he has the 4th most tackles in the league of any player playing the sport. Please welcome one of our favorites on the show, Vikings linebacker Eric Kendricks.
What's up, Eric? What's up, man?
What's up? I didn't even know I was number four, I guess, right now. So that's pretty cool.
Cool stat. But this team is in a very cool moment in time. Vikings are hot, 1-2 straight. But Dallas has won 5 straight. You guys, you're welcoming them. It's Halloween night, Sunday night. Talk about this one and what this opportunity for you and that Vikings organization has on the national stage.
Hey, it's prime time, you know what I mean? So we got to come to play. Obviously, Dallas is a good team. But, you know, we've been in some close battles. So I think we've been tested throughout the course of the season. And I think we're ready to just, you know, break through.
Well, we looked it up. Your Vikings lead the NFL in sacks. There's another stat. 32 teams, nobody has more than you. But, Eric, now you look at this. I imagine if you're watching film this week, it's like, all right, Dak and Zeke and all these receivers, like, they have a deep, talented offense. How do you even begin to form a strategy of how are we going to hold these guys under 30? They're good.
The fact that they know what they do. They do it well, and they get the ball to their guys. So it's just a matter about, you know, knowing the situation of football, getting pressure on the quarterback, and just running to the ball.
Eric, let's talk Kirk Cousins here. Try to take me seriously for the next minute or so. He knows the Cowboys pretty well. He's played them with the Vikings and with Washington. Meanwhile, Trevon Diggs has been picking off every pass he sees. It's as if the ball comes to him and lands in his mitts. So will Kirk Cousins be the quarterback who breaks this crazy interception streak that Diggs has going on? Have you guys talked about it at practice?
I feel like we obviously mentioned it, you know, going to the beginning of the week. You know, we talk about their personnel and things like that. But I think Kirk is going to play his game. They have players. We have players. I'm just ready to battle it out. You know, quit talking about it. Let's do it.
Okay, well then.
Look, I want to ask you this because I ain't going to ask you about Zeke. I'm not going to ask you about Pollard and how you plan to stop him. I'm an expert wide receiver. I'm a return specialist. I was always taught to catch the ball with two hands. Mm-hmm. How do you do it with one hand? I got a son playing football. Give me the scoop on how you make that one-handed grab.
I think it's just something that my parents blessed me with that ability, I guess, in a sense. I don't know, man. It just, everything was in slow motion on that play. It worked out for the Vikings on that play. So sometimes you got to just put your mitt out there and see what happens.
So basically, it can't be taught. You got to have it in you. It got to be mm-hmm. passed down from generation mm-hmm. to generation.
It's got to be a little bit, you know, of the genetic pool. For sure.
Eric, best of luck on Sunday. Please, could you actually do us a favor? Can you dress up for Halloween and during your pregame walk to the stadium have some sort of costume on?
I got you.
Good. Check in on Monday. That's it.
I can send you my Ted Lasso outfit.
I'm going to pass on that. I need to watch it, though. I heard great things about it.
Oh, interesting.
I've not seen it yet. All right.
Maybe Dak Prescott wants it. All right.
Okay. EK, thank you, man. We appreciate you.
All right. Take care.
We got costumes and we got picks. Right now it's time for our GMFB certified 100% grade A grass-fed top choice picks and picks of the week. Pete Strags, what is the one game that you guarantee will be a win this weekend, coach?
The last mm-hmm. 3 weeks I have selected the Seattle Seahawks to win their games. They lost to the Rams, they lost to the Steelers, and then they lost in heartbreaking fashion to the
Saints. I like it.
They are fully in win or done mode, and they've got the lowly Jacksonville Jaguars traveling into Seattle. If you had told me mm-hmm. back in August mm-hmm. that I would be taking the Jaguars in week 8 over the Seahawks, I'd tell you, you're crazy. And yet, I am taking the Jaguars as my...
Light them up! The Jags! I'm Dags!
Trevor Lawrence and the Daryl Bevel revenge game. It's not as hyped as Brady's, but I'm going with Bevel going back up into Seattle and getting the dub.
Wow, incredible. Jack. Josh.
Okay, when I look at these two teams, when I look at Dallas, when I look at the Vikings, I see a team of talented guys, two teams, but one team has CeeDee Lamb. The team has a Dak Prescott, mm-hmm. a two-headed monster, and mm-hmm. Zeke and Pollard, and more talent, Dalton Schultz, and a revamped defense to go with it. So that's why I'm taking the Cowboys as my...
Light them up!
Light them up, Josh!
Yeah! Look at you, and the fire does not burn you.
Unburnt. Burn it. Burn it. I am the unburnt.
That's right.
Unburnt. I want to talk Chargers. I want to talk Patriots. Tiki Barber absolutely shaming my Survivor pick choice, so I'm doubling down. You think Brandon Staley gives a crap about history, gives a crap about what happened last year? Mm. Brandon Staley is a goldfish with a 10-second memory, and I am going with, do I think the Chargers can take down the Patriots?
What do you got?
I'll say the same thing I'd say if Diane Sawyer asked me out on a date. Yes, please. I'm going with the Chargers of the Patriots for my...
Light them up!
GMFB.
not headbanging because I already have a migraine from this win. But go Chargers, Bills up. What do you got?
Incredible. All right, so let's get something crazy here. We know the West County Coyotes. We had Lance Harbor go down. They had to resort to all kinds of tricks, all kinds of six wide receiver offense behind Billy Bob and Wendell in the running game. And my man, Johnny Moxon, to the tweeter. I think that there's a team that's going to resort to the same side of histrionics this weekend. Peter, you went with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm going with the Detroit Lions.
Wow.
Is my... Yeah! Hotter than my teacher in West Conan High School. That's exactly right. The Lions are going to get a win. I'm sorry, Philadelphia, but I like a win for Dan Campbell and that Jared Goff. I like that Jared Goff. I said it. Yes, I did. Lions win.
That's it. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to everybody.
Halloween show. Bum, Moxon, Snow Space.
Snow.
It's the best.
Gonna go on the plane and still be Jon Snow.
Yeah, don't take that scepter with you. We don't want that. TSA isn't Cleveland TSA.
No, okay. I have to get back on the steel dragon.
Happy Halloween.
Send a
be
raven
safe.
To
enjoy.
You,
we'll see you Monday. So funny.
Lightning.